Credit Suisse tries to move beyond its criminal past. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio via the studios this week of the BBC in London. Credit Suisse has now pleaded guilty in the U.S. to helping people hide money to evade U.S. taxes, the fine $2.6 billion. Criminals sometimes have a tough time finding work, but Credit Suisse has decent prospects. The BBC's Imogen Folks joins us from Switzerland. Imogen, good morning.
Good morning.
So a guilty plea in this criminal case, a fine not in millions but billions of dollars. How does Credit Suisse propose to move forward from this?
By paying the fine is the short answer to that. And in return, and this is the key thing for Credit Suisse, they're going to get to keep their banking license in the States. They were threatened with losing that, which would have been catastrophic for Switzerland's second biggest bank, a bank very important to the Swiss economy.
In general, do you see Swiss banks moving out of the business of helping clients dodge taxes?
I think if you look at the way in which they have been divesting themselves of U.S. clients over the last few years, it's very hard to get a bank account in Switzerland if you're American, that they really don't want this trouble anymore. And the smaller banks who never really got involved in this big tax evasion encouragement are very angry with the big banks for dragging them all into this. There are another dozen or so Swiss banks on the DOJ's list, and the DOJ will be going after them. They will have to pay as well. And for them, Credit Suisse has set the bar painfully high.
The BBC's Imogen Folks in Geneva, thank you.
Thank you.
Now let's check markets. Our first one this morning, Portobello Market here in London's Notting Hill District. Antiques, bric-a-brac. Una Lorinavičiūtė is a trader in antique jewelry at Portobello.
I believe this market is perfect for people who don't have money, because as we know, the prices in the shops are really crazy. I notice personally that people don't have money, so I guess economy crisis, etc. influences us. But the gap, it's difficult to tell because majority of people here are tourists and they come to buy something to remember the city.
Moving to the London stock market, the FT 100 is down 0.5% at the moment. Dow, S&P and Nasdaq futures are down slightly. And the London Stock Exchange has reportedly emerged as lead bidder for Russell Investments, the Seattle-based company that does the famous Russell stock indices. Northwest Mutual would sell for about $3 billion, according to the Financial Times. Part of the audio tapestry of London is this.
Mind the gap, please.
Mind the gap, a reminder in the subway here not to stumble into the gap between the platform and the train. This week from London, we're minding the gap, a big one between rich and poor in this city, with lessons for Britain and the U.S. Yesterday it was the billionaires and their super fancy wine. Today we travel to the borough of Newham in London's East End to find out how some of the poorest Londoners are being priced out of their hometown. Marketplace's Stephen Beard filed this report.
Welcome to our demonstration. Welcome to our act of defiance and rebellion.
This weekly protest was inspired by the plight of 29 single mothers on welfare threatened with exile from their own city. 20-year-old Samantha Joanne Middleton among them. She had her baby in a hostel for the homeless in Newham. Then she says she was told she'd have to seek accommodation well outside London, where the rents are cheaper.
They're trying to move me away from my family. I mean, I'm born and bred, my mum's and my dad's from Newham, their family's from Newham, do you know what I mean? It's not right. It really ain't right.
Samantha became homeless after a domestic dispute, the same for 19-year-old Jasmine Stone, and she claims she too was told by the local authority that even though she was born and brought up in Newham, she's now too poor to live here.
East London was initially a place for the poor, but it's not anymore. Like, you see so many luxury apartments everywhere, the rents are so expensive. London's being made a place for just rich people.
Samantha Middleton's unhappy that many of those new luxury apartments have been sold off plan to rich foreign investors.
We're the minority of London now. Do you know what I mean? Londoners do not live in London anymore.
How many homes have they built? That's why you're seeing them evicting people and sending them halfway across the country.
Campaigners say London's poor are being squeezed out by a severe shortage of affordable housing. Dave Morris runs a residents' association in North London. He blames an influx of high-end real estate developers for pricing local people out of the city. But he says the backlash is beginning.
We are not going to accept people from outside whose only interest is money and pushing everyone else out the way. I think people are getting angrier and angrier.
Back at the protest in Newham, Samantha is performing a rather forlorn karaoke with Jesse J's hit Price Tag with some new lyrics. It's not about the money, 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 she sings. We don't want your money, we just want to stay in London.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't want your money, money, money. We just want to stay in London.
In the East End of London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Live with kids stuck in the praying mantis pose with mobile phones in their hands? Then this story from London today will be of interest. The British government has ordered a study into what mobile phones might be doing, if anything, to the bodies and brains of kids. Not just the radio waves, but how the kids who use phones all the time think. Here's the thing. In kids, this hasn't been studied much. 160 high schoolers and middle schoolers in London are being recruited for the survey. Researchers, led by the Imperial College of London, will look for longer-term changes in cognitive ability, memory, and attention. Starting at age 11, it'll be interesting to see if they can locate any kids for the study's control group, ones who never use a phone. From London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.